Joining us now from ESPN, our great friend and one of the very, very best in this business at covering the NFL, John Clayton. John, welcome back to the show.
I think it's always a pleasure to be with you. Let's put it this way. We've been watching games and watching football seasons together now going, we can't say how many decades because that would show how old we are.
It's been several decades, yes. Yep. There's no doubt about that. Johnny, I want to start with the news here. The Browns making it official have been speculated for, obviously, since the hiring of Rob Chudzinski as head coach, but it became official today. North Turner is the offensive coordinator for the Browns. What's your reaction to that?
I think that's, one of the huge acquisitions. I mean, sometimes you can get the right play caller, and I think that most people agree that North Turner is one of the best play callers in football. And so I think for Rob Chudzinski and the Cleveland Browns, this is a great acquisition because, he's been successful and he has a formula for winning that's been able to last for so long. I mean, he uses the Air Coryell system from way back, the digital system, and he's one of the best at doing it. And whether it's been in Dallas, whether it's been in Washington, I mean, he's been now in so many different places. But, when you start to talk about what coordinators are hired that can make instant impacts, Wade Phillips, when he goes to a team on defense, usually has a major impact on the offense. Well, North Turner does the same thing when he goes to a new offense. And, I don't think there's a place that as a offensive play caller that people are criticizing him for. The only time that they may criticize him is the fact that, okay, maybe he's too nice of a guy as a head coach, and because of that, maybe the team doesn't get the most out of it. But this is one of the best play callers, and, if you're talking about first-round draft choices, I mean, he's a lottery pick.
And when we talk about that, you often hear with regard to play calling, John, it's about a rhythm, right? And it's a feel for what your guy can do, but what you need to do to beat an opponent's whatever they're showing defensively. So you need to have the feel for that, the rhythm for that, and get into that groove. That's really what I've heard about North through the years.
Well, and also, too, I think what's amazing is that with Norv, what he has done now for more than two decades and how well it holds up. Because, a lot of times, if you're going to be in a ever-changing National Football League, a lot of things go differently. I mean, you sometimes, see things that become outdated. What he does has never been outdated, and the reason is he has the right feel for the balance of it. I mean, if you notice, unless he doesn't have a very good running back, he always has, an 1,100 to 1,200-yard runner, as long as that runner stays healthy. Mm-hmm. He always has the ability to, take big-type receivers and have great success with them. That's why this is going to help Josh Gordon a lot. He's got the ability to put in the quick guys, but also, too, he'll adjust to what talent is there. I mean, and the example is, in San Diego, the talent was big, tall pass catchers. Now, they really didn't do much with a slot guy until this past year when they brought Eddie Royal in. But if you go back to his Washington days, he had a lot of slot-type receivers before that was really in vogue. I mean, smaller type guys that would be able to work the middle of the field. I mean, that's where a Travis Benjamin, I think could have a great asset because, he can do some things out of the slot, but also do them with speed. And, one thing with Norv is that he'll try longer type passes too. I mean, he just got the whole ability with a system that just never seems to be too old.
Yeah, it stands the test of time, that Air Coryell system, which is all about going for touchdowns rather than just the first down, like we did with Dan Fouts. Always attack, attack, attack.
Oh, no question about it. And I think that, he now gets the benefit of the sacrifices that were made last year because, he comes in and he's got a talented group of skilled position players. I mean, speed and size at the wide receiver position, certainly great ability at the backfield with Trent Richardson. What you now would probably figure, because he's also big on using one and two tight ends, that this would put the team in a position where they're going to probably be looking at tight end in the draft or free agency to try to find the right mix. Because, couple things you always know with Norv. You're always going to have an 1,100 to 1,200-yard running back. Yep. You're always going to have the main receiver is going to catch about 80 ball. It's not 80. It's more like in the 70s. In fact, I remember when I think it was Keyshawn Johnson and a couple guys like that. He said, he never overloads it with one receiver because he likes to spread it around, but he also likes to take more chances. And then with that in mind, too, he always has a good pass-catch tight end.
Right, right. So you're getting the full mix of things, and of course in San Diego that guy was Antonio Gates. John, what does this say too about Chud? His ability to bring aboard this guy, because the mutual respect that they had for each other when Rob Jedzinski was the tight ends coach, assistant head coach of the Chargers for Norv Turner in 2009-2010.
Well, you know, the one thing is that Norv is such a good guy, and he has good friends. And because as a coach, he was, you know, I still remember in San Francisco when he was there, and all the people were so sad when he went down to San Diego because they wanted him to stay. Well, actually, and then of course going over to coming from Oakland, they all called him Uncle Norv. I mean, we're losing Uncle Norv. I mean, you know, because Norv was always such a friendly guy that everybody liked being around.
Yeah.
And so the friendship is huge, because, you know, there was obviously a lot of places that Norv could have gone to. And, you know, I'm sure that there might have been a juncture where he could have gone down to Dallas. But, you know, I think that he liked the situation because of Chud. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows you, you know, how loyal he is. Because one thing with Norv is a West Coast guy. And he likes the weather on the West Coast. For Norv to bundle up in Cleveland, which, of course, you have to kind of do in the wintertime, and you know I'm a Pittsburgh guy.
Yep.
You know, we're all from the East Coast.
Right.
You know, Norv had to have good friendship for that to happen. I mean, he knows he's coming to a great franchise, you know, a great city for football in Cleveland. But, you know, at least now he'll have an extra coat that he'll have to wear instead of what he had in San Diego.
No, that's such a great point on that. John Clayton from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, the other big coaching story, the big one today from a head coach standpoint, the guy that the Browns began this search with for head coach, Chip Kelly, decides to join the Philadelphia Eagles. Kind of a bizarre story here, because at first he was, I mean, after interviewing with the Browns, the Eagles, the Bills in that early weekend, first weekend of January, he goes through that process in Arizona. It sounds like he's going back to Oregon, and then turns around now and changes his mind. What happened there?
Well, what happened was that probably the benefactor at Oregon, Phil Knight, didn't come up with enough money to keep him. Because, you know, I know I was well with Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio last night, and they said, "What do you think decided this?" And I said, "Dead presidents." I mean,
okay.
Money is probably what determined it. And,
yeah.
And always, you know, Chip has been campaigning to get in the National Football League. I mean, I still go back to when he left New Hampshire and to go out to Oregon, and they ask him, "What do you hope to accomplish in your coaching career?" And his answer was to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And you're thinking, well, geez, I mean, I know the BCS is considered to be a great stomping grounds for championships, but I didn't realize a Lombardi Trophy went with that. You know, so he was always angling to get into the National Football League. And,
right.
You know, he went with Tampa Bay last year and almost took that job, and ended up kind of backing out. And then, you know, he backed out on the Cleveland Browns before he got, I'm sure he probably could have gotten the offer there, but then he backed out. And then I was hearing tales because, you know, I live in Seattle, so yep. I hear all the Oregon stuff, that last week he was reaching out to Joe Banner, reaching out to Philadelphia, and reaching out to Arizona to put his name back in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, naturally, if you're Joe Banner, it's like, okay, that ship has sailed. We're not doing that again.
Right.
Because it really all it did was waste a week of Joe's time in trying to find the coach. And Philadelphia, they're still looking for the big name. They decided that instead of going with Gus Bradley, who I'm sure would have been hired were it not for Chip Kelly, then they decided, you know what, here's the big name. He's offense. Maybe he can resurrect the career of Michael Vick. Let's go with him. I am always suspect of college coaches and pure college coaches coming into the National Football League, because too many times it's hard to translate how that success is going to be, because, you know, you're so used to controlling everything in college and you can't control everything in the National Football League. I'm not sold this is going to be a good hire for Philly, but now we'll just have to see how it plays out.
And for Browns fans who might be sitting there, and for folks here saying, okay, wait a minute, he you know, it didn't work out with Cleveland, and Philly was in the mix initially, but initially folks were taking some solace in the fact that, okay, he rejected everybody in the NFL to go back to college. Now that he's picked a different NFL team, what it sounds like what you're saying is, don't be so sure in Cleveland that you're missing out on something.
No, exactly, because, you know, one thing is that, and you know, football that fans in Cleveland like, you know, a physical brand of football. I mean, this is finesse.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can watch it up in New England over the weekend with the Patriots. I mean, they have a little bit of it. So, too, they have the ability to do just about anything they want on offense because they have Tom Brady. But they use so much of the same type of offense in the sense that it's, you know, all fast pace. It's, you know, running the football out of quickness, you know, trying to tire teams out. And you don't know if it's going to translate in Cleveland, you know, mm-hmm. on the water, in the cold. And, you know, it's not as cold in Oregon as it is on the West Coast as it is on the East Coast. So you don't really know if the full package is going to translate. And so maybe for a while there'll be a question, gee, how can we let him get away? We'll see how it works out. Don't be guaranteed that this is going to work.
The last thing, John, we can't let you go without having you comment on really the story of the last couple of days, and it's really taken hold today. Incredibly strange story from Notre Dame, Manti Te'o and the girlfriend, the pretend girlfriend that he met online, and who knows where it went or where it's still going to go from here. But we know this much, that it's raised a lot of questions about him, and I guess specifically to the draft. What are you hearing about the way NFL people are viewing Te'o now?
Well, I mean, what it's going to do is put him under intense scrutiny in interviews through the next 4 months. I think that's pretty clear, because when he goes to the combine, he's going to basically, in the 45 minutes to an hour that he meets with the team, he's going to have to explain how this all happened. And I'm sure that what teams are going to do is have, you know, psychologists try to evaluate and all those different things to see, how did you get yourself in this position? You know, is it bad judgment? Is it bad emotions? How are you handling this? Are you telling us the entire truth? Does your story hold up as we talk for 45 minutes? And that's what it's going to do. I don't think it's going to affect his draft stock negatively, because you know that a lot of players have come into the league with a lot of baggage. Mm. Well, if your baggage was that you got emotional on a relationship that was online and on the phone, is it just you're gullible? Well, gullible is not going to drop you out of the top 10 of the draft.
Right.
He's too talented of a guy. I think you can see that he's a good person. Maybe he's too caring of a person, and obviously he's too gullible of a person. But I think that, you know, it may initially, you think it's going to drop him down, but by the end, as long as he's telling the truth, and Notre Dame seems to back him up and saying he's telling the truth, that his draft stock will stay where it is, which is anywhere between, say, 5 and 10 in the first round.
Yeah, there's a difference between gullible and criminal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the one thing is that you can see just with the emotion, and that's where I think that's where the psychologists are going to have to, you know, make sure that, are you okay? I mean, can you handle all this? And he's young. I mean, I think sometimes we forget somebody that is in college is so young and so gullible, and you try to learn, and, you know, obviously he'll become a better person for this, and, having this all aired out. But in the end, I don't think it's going to affect his draft stock.
Yeah, well, good stuff from you, John, as always, and your stock's always high in our eyes, and look forward to seeing you at the Super Bowl.
That sounds great.
All right. He is John Clayton from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.